I got a recorder like that on my instrument. Got it for a present.
You ever use it?
I don't use it much. I use it some, yeah. Kind of fun.
But this, I have to use it because I don't have a very good memory.
Oh,
and I can't remember all the things I want to remember that I ask people. So it's just easier to do this.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think back. I'm trying to think back of where we left off when I was talking to you before.
Oh, yeah, let's see. What the chickens did we leave off?
Well, I guess I just wanted to ask you more about how you enjoyed your life here and what if you've seen many changes. And
well, well, yes, of course it changes here and there. Naturally, changes in the population and all that, you know. I've enjoyed it all ever since I've been here. My voice is kind of husky again.
That's okay, that doesn't bother me at all.
No, I just enjoy it all the time here in Alaska. It's always true. It's a little Franklin Roosevelt's advice. He said, if I was a young man, I'd go to Alaska, I believe he said.
Oh, did he say that?
Yeah.
Oh, and so you
followed... Well, that's why I followed his advice. Yeah. Frankly, damn hard I did.
Good for you.
Yeah.
When was that?
That is quite a while ago. I come up here in 1948. Well, you haven't had that Matanuska. Oh, you remember that. I mean, had a bunch come up, colonize the Matanuska Valley. Hiked up here. Oh, I come up after that.
You didn't want to colonize
I come up for, yeah.
You wanted to mine? You didn't want to go into the farming area?
Well, I just go up, I'd always been, I'd been thinking about Alaska a lot when I was a kid. My father, he would have been up here on the first gold rush if only that he had just got married at that time before I had started. Otherwise, I know darn well he'd have been up, yeah.
So you didn't want to miss your chance. You came when you were.
Huh?
You didn't want to miss your chance.
No. My dad, he had all kinds of stuff from the Department of the Interior about Alaska. I'd read that, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, he would have liked to have been up here.
Was he alive when you came up here? Was he pleased?
No, he passed away a long time in 1916. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was about...
How old would you be then?
Well, I was about 14 then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh.
Well, my father, he got pneumonia, passed away. He's 51. That's pretty young, you know. For,
sure is.
Yeah. His father was, in the 90s when he died.
Well, it looks like you're going to be in the 90s easily enough, too.
Well, you never know, but you know, you hopefully ever noticed the last few years, increasing number of people who lived to be in good shape past 90?
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm.
Our lifespan has increased about 30 years.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it's one or two to our eating habits, I guess.
I don't know.
They figured a lot of it due to our diet.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you find life more interesting as you go along? Is there any part of your life you found more interesting than another?
No, I don't think so. I just, as it comes out, yeah. And there was, we need to remember back, it's just a natural for you to remember the good things are easier than the bad, as a rule.
Right. I think
that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's claimed that to frown, you use a lot more muscles in frowning than you do just smiling.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's just reading that a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
Because that proved out how many muscles you put in the action to frown. It's about 19 muscles. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I just read it here. I bet you, when you read your physiology, I bet you can look it up pretty quick now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
How did you feel about the changes and my changes? And when how did you feel when Alaska became a state? Did it make any difference?
Oh. I thought it was kind of damn foolish.
Mm-hmm.
But some people think it was all right. The reason I thought it was foolish because we're not contiguous to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only objection I had.
Mm-hmm.
But, shucks. I was wrong on that. Mostly. Yeah, it sucks. Old Bob Bartlett, he was quite a fool.
Well, I guess in those days, everyone knew everybody else, even more so than today.
Yeah, more so than today, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My God, yes. When I first come up here, not that way, I went down here to watch the Civilian Club, and I saw there working behind the bar, and I had a little soft drink sandwich bar with my, and he said, "You know Bobby Jones?" "No, I don't know, was he the, what is up at Wiseman?" "God, I told him, what?" Everybody knew each other from 200-300 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That struck me, you know.
Because
Down where I was raised, God, if you knew everybody within a radius of 6 miles, you was pretty well acquainted with the state.
I think that was one of the special things that kept everybody here.
I believe so too.
Mm-hmm.
My God, I don't know. Oh, you say, well, I went over to Yukon, once in Yukon. So I over there, and I wanted to do a little prospecting. I had a couple of mining claims down in the Black Hills once, and I battled them. And I figured I'd like to do some sniping up here, prospect. Wheelbarrow mining, I never had no big equipment. And, shucks.
So you went up in the Yukon?
Yeah, I was over in the Yukon, looked at it, and did a little sniping on, got some, couple of claims, and then I got some ground, some mining ground was open here near Esther, and then over in the 40-mile country on the Terror Highway, I got another, finally wound up with it. A camp over there, and whole bunch of claims on one clip. A fellow willed me a whole bunch of stuff over there. Let's see.
Did you ever hit any big pay dirt or anything, or just?
Well, at least I still. Well, I finally sold the camp, and it was a good camp. The creek, it wasn't a rich creek, but there was little money on all the time.
That's sort of nicer, isn't it? Like what? An old friend. That's sort of like an old friend you can count on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what you call shallow bottom. Wasn't deep to bedrock. 18 feet deepest. Yeah.
Did you ever get lonely out there by yourself?
Well, I didn't stay there by myself much. But I had other people around some. I stayed out alone. I don't like to. There's too many things you can have. You can hurt yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But some people do it years and years and years. And get by fine and dandy.
They do,
isn't it? Man that's out there in that camp, telling around, he stays alone all the time. Brother comes out once in a while, say, well, he does a little mining, and he traps in the water, traps in Martin. Okay, he's a good cook. God, he can cook.
I guess you have to be when you're out there by yourself, because you're...
Oh,
yeah?
You bet. Yes, sir, dear. Got a lot of good men cooks in Alaska. Baked bread, you know, homemade. What you used to figure was the women did all have the old bachelor's guy.
Well, you think there maybe wasn't many women around? Is that
there's some women, yeah. They had the, but, well, they had those, they were native women, but people didn't know us. There wasn't very many white women around. Had a bunch of girls down on the line. Yeah, oh God, I wish I'd have got a telephone book, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This mining company, Fairbanks, he used to call it the FB Company, Fairbanks, Israel.
Yeah.
Well, first job I had last was working out in that camp, you know. And the boss of that camp was right down here, the next two rooms away.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he was the manager of the dredges, you know, in the middle of the farm. Yeah, and that was something by Georgia. I still had fun up here that first year. I was made pretty good working the deckhand on a dredge. And by golly, that was great. I'd had a job done, and I'd been working in Seattle in an aircraft. But I had a strike, see, and I figured if the strike come off, I was going to go to Alaska, which I did.
You were working on aircraft, you say?
Yeah, I was working in the mines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, worked there 3 years and a half. Yeah.
And then they had a strike, and you decided
to... Then they had a strike, and I knew it would last quite a long time, so I just say, I would have skipped and come to Alaska. Came in over there. I still got my tool checks from that, from Boyd's.
What year was that?
48 when I come up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got my tool checks right in there. And,
oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first year was really great. You decided to stay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, shucks. What if you open that top drawer and see you?
To put my glasses on.
And see if you see something black.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there. You can open that up and see the junk in there.
Oh my gosh, a journeyman?
That's
working at blowing it. Oh my gosh, a tennis set there for...
That was that book I didn't get to...
Boeing aircraft.
Yeah.
Identity. Yep.
Yeah, that's my shop number. The last one, when the strike was over, I worked on the first D-47s at the Air Force Guard. They were made in Seattle. And then and also back in on the East Coast and also in Wichita made a smaller place for boy and Marietta, Georgia. That's where we had a big Boeing plant. And when I first come there, I worked mostly in I started out working in the wing shop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to shop 303. Someone referred me to that in the salt mine. 1,500 men on one ship. Then later on, the plant two there, and I worked 29 months on the swing ship. But that was more money than I had ever been making before, see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
But you still didn't want to wait for the job. You wanted to come up to Alaska once they went on.
Well, when they had the strike, I just had to go ahead on.
Mm-hmm.
Up there. I was going to go back after the strike was over. The terms were left. Maybe they looked like they were. We forced to pay our back wages and pay our plane fare, our fare back and all that. And I was going to do that, you see. Get all I could out of there.
It was too good here. You just didn't
want to
leave.
Well, I didn't want to leave. I would have them pay my way back down again. Then I would have come back up.
Mm-hmm.
No. After a while, I would have come back. You could hire out down there, you know, in Seattle.
Oh, for working up here?
Yeah, that's what I hired out in Seattle working this mining up.
Oh, Esther, you hired out for FE to come to Esther?
Yep.
Far out, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I had to pay my own fare up on the plane.
Oh, I see, but then they guaranteed you a job once
you
got there.
Yeah, I had the job with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, that's your first airplane ride. I have a skirt out of me. I look down the Alaska arena, by God, if I get off of this Alaska, I'm never getting on another plane.
Did you ever change your mind and get on another plane?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, but I know it's pretty scary.
We all got a schedule.
Oh, yeah.
And it took me quite a while to get over it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'll bet.
Not sure.
How long was it before you went outside after you got here?
Well, I worked on the 2nd of July, worked till the first part of December, and I came back in the spring. And I went to work there, and they cut me out of the dredge pond, you know. Then when they had a strike at the FB coming through.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. So then I went out there. I got a landfill working on the railroad and on the base. And worked on the track section there. I had done that in the States a little bit. And then just as I got started on that, I started cutting out the 6-day week for a 5-day week.
Oh,
that was... It was pretty low wages compared to it on that track too, as Colin Little. My God, that took the fat out of the package on it for quite a while, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good job anyhow. Got better after a little while.
Did you get back to mining after that, or did you stay with Lad?
Oh, I stayed out there. I worked 14 years.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Then I take my annual leave and go to the Rampart on Yukon, see?
Mm-hmm.
Monkey around in plaster painting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did there was fish eating. And drink a little beer, a little bowl.
Yeah. That it was good life.
Oh, it was a good life. And you leave, you know, and on the weekends, you see, I go there, I just make a whole month out of that annual leave.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, that was the life for Riley.
Mm-hmm.
God. Yeah, God. The town over there is picked up in population now. They got the mining more over there. And, I ain't been over there for a couple of years now. I used to go every summer. For 14 years I went over every 4th of July and stayed about a week and a little longer. Then pretty soon I stayed. Let to stay in a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't you like it here in the daylight? How long have you been here?
Oh, Everett, I love the daylight. That's what keeps me here.
Me too.
I love it. I've been in Alaska 14 years.
Yeah.
I've been in Esther.
I knew you'd be here quite a while. I was wondering if you stayed much in it. Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Oh.
Boy, it's the summertime that keeps me alive. I'm not wild about the dark, I must tell you, but I love the sunshine.
Yeah, me too.
And the summer is just a magic time for me. There's so much
going
on.
Oh, my God.
It's just the only place in the world to live.
Absolutely. That's like one woman I boarded with. I had a room at her place. And she said, you haven't lived until you've lived in Alaska.
That's right.
And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm. You certainly don't seem to have any regrets from living here. You don't seem to have any regrets in your life.
Oh, not in that respect. course, not much use wasting time over regrets, because you look back at some event and there's no use of regretting it much, because at the time that the thing happened, you were doing what you thought was the best anyhow.
Oh, I agree.
Absolutely. So what else are you having remorse over any of it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's fire. I believe it takes quite a lot of regular education just to keep out of jail, and I always concentrated on keeping out, and I did keep out, except a couple of times when I was in the Army, got a little time in the guardhouse a couple of times for getting broken out of uniform or something like that. In the Philippines. But I had a good life over there in the Army for a couple of years.
What years were they? Before you came to up north?
Oh yeah, I'm over there in 1926.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Philippines would have been much different in those days too, I imagine.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, shucks, had a man, I had a good time going to the Philippines. I know people here. I was going to go back there. I would be back there now in the wintertime, except when they start this damn fighting again over there, Marcos and them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I can talk to her language of right now.
You can? Wow.
Oh, she sung about her own agenda. Where are you going, buddy? Beautiful. I
see you know all the essential things to say.
Oh, yeah. I was a little bamboo American girl. I remember that. Hell yes. Excuse me.
But once you got to Alaska, you were sold.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Was it all you expected it to be? All you wanted out of it?
Yeah, you bet. Absolutely. Yeah.
Fulfilled all your expectations and...
Huh?
It fulfilled all your expectations.
Yes, it did. Exactly. Exactly.
Do you think it's still the same for young people coming up, or has it changed so much that...
Sure, it's still the same, damn right. Certainly is.
Hold on, I gotta change this.
about, is there anything in particular you feel you want to say? I mean, if you thought, well, this is my chance to say something that I'd like, my big chance to say something that I'd like people to know or remember or think about, this is it.
Well, that's about it. I can't think of anything special, really. I've enjoyed talking about it all that, but I mean, I right now I can't think of anything special.
Okay. How long did you live in Esther? I mean, in the later times, just recently, how long? That little cabin I knew.
Yeah, you. I bought that in '60. I had the cabin a little over, around 20 years or something. Bought it for, I got a very lucky buy on it. Didn't have to pay all cash for it neither.
I guess Esther had shrunk in size then, because there was no mining going on at that time, was there?
Oh yeah, there was. When I first, well, they had, they were cutting down, they weren't doing much mining there. Let's see. The mining started kind of winding down around there about the time I come up. But it kept on going. That's in 1948, they were going. Very active there in Esther. It's about $100 million right down there within less than a quarter of a mile from where that cabin was at.
Wow. That's really
$100 million. Mm-hmm. That was, gold wasn't high there, but it was $36 an ounce.
$6 or
$6? $36. And then before that, it had been $14.
Hmm.
But it come up to $36. Well, they took out $1 million a month that summer, I remember that.
Oh!
Just had one dredge.
Critical.
Yeah. And then they had a couple more. They all finally wound up. I don't know just how many dredges they did have in Alaska. I had some at Nome and some up here at in the Hog River country, as you call it, right up, straight up north. And I forget just how many dredges they were out there. But they had 1,000 men out in the summertime working in the camp.
Oh, my gosh. Did you ever have the gold fever grab you so that you wanted to go and just do it on your own and aim for the big strike or anything?
I had found, yeah. Everybody has that in their mind, you know, all the time.
Very infectious fever.
Oh, yeah, everybody had that more or less.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wish I'd have kept that or stole a copy of that phone book out of the company mess hall. That telephone, you can call downtown, you know, and then there's different the phone number that people have. And the girls down on the line, they all had their phone number. You look up, you'd be in the company mess hall, you look up, here's Betty and here's Alice. She said,
oh, is that?
Hell right? Yes!
Oh. Oh, God, you're in the phone book. Yeah.
I would have swiped that.
Yeah, you'd only thought to hit, yeah.
Because it could have got another one.
Mm-hmm.
And what a lot of fun it would have been, you know.
Yes,
I'd give that to the university or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. On Fourth Avenue, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Holy Christ.
They probably did a booming business.
Yeah, yes.
Well, there weren't that many women up here then, were there? And a lot of men were really lonely.
That's right, too. Well, they had, some of them had to get, conniving around with the knees a little too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shucks. But that was something down on that Fourth Avenue by a guy. Then they got to the they got kind of serious when the cottage they'd make a raid on them girls and let them all pay a fight, and then they let them operate again, arrest them again. And so one, there's one guy, he worked for the FB company part-time too. He was a prospect driller for them. And I knew him pretty well. He goes down the line there and he goes, goes into one cabin, and there's two girls in the place. But just then that night there was only one girl there. And he was in March, it was 13 below zero, it had been thawing. But then it froze up, you know, sharp ice, you know. Well, the way they'd go into this place, you go along the street, down past the end of the line, and there's a board fence with a hole in it about 4 feet wide, and there's no buildings across the street where anybody could see it. Going in, and people just going to go into the whorehouse, they walk down, go in that back. There you go.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But then the cops and the city began to raise some hell a little bit, you know. So here's this guy, he comes in and Christ, it's 13 below zero. And he undressed, he gets all his goddamn clothes off, and the cops knock on the door. Jesus Christ, it was very sorry. See, threw his clothes out and go push him out the door. And all that. I forget how he got, well, he got right out there 13, 14 below zero, barefoot, bare naked, and
grabbing his clothes.
But he just did it. Well, he got it, he ran, that's right, he put his clothes on, but that's a pretty goddamn cool. And the cops said they would be. They was butting in there when they didn't have no business to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got a little bit, they was going down there, breaking in there. If it was a private home, they weren't supposed to break in without a warrant. Boy, I went down there one night, and when I was down there, and sometimes it used to be clear. You weren't supposed to pack a gun, but sometimes a good idea maybe to have one. Damn fool if you didn't, damn fool if you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I got down this girl. Oh, Jesus. She said, the cops, they're getting kind of nasty now, you have to watch out. And I said, well, I pulled that gun out, and I just said, you're on the fool around me, stopping me on the goddamn street. Just on the front of it. And they let me alone. They did, because they figured, well,
maybe you were crazy enough to do
something. She called up somebody and told them something. I guess she called up and said, leave this place alone now because there's a guy packing a gun and he don't want to take any BS from you.
Mm-hmm.
And they paid attention to it too, you know, really.
Was life
not because it was me, but they just become general principles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, hell, I don't give a that.
Was life generally pretty peaceful then around those days?
Oh, yeah, here he is. It, oh, sometimes, oh, when I first come up there, you didn't know it, but it was kind of wild in a way too, I guess. Yeah, I heard quite a lot of it, but somebody got killed once a week for sure.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, hell yes. For a while, over something, scrapping around about this and that and the other.
That was downtown or up at the camp?
Downtown? Oh, not up at the camp, but downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Christ, yes, it was. But the general people were, well, you didn't notice much surliness around on the street. Oh, Christ. Somebody get drunk, and some married couple have an Alaska divorce.
Mm-hmm.
One of them shoot the other one, has an Alaska divorce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the winters were pretty hard then in the sense that nowadays maybe we can get out more easily.
Yeah, it's so. Yeah, I working on out there on the base and taking care of some of their equipment at night, heating equipment. And this they had the people working up in the Arctic, you know, and then the office on Ladfield, and they had their communication back and forth, you know. And so here's a woman. I gotta stay all night in the place. She's working there till midnight. And she said, so we had coffee and well, sometimes we could make coffee and we had some donuts. We'd tip in on that and then we'd have locks for lock up the lunch stuff and so that the next shift couldn't just get in there and help herself for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, this woman said, well, I guess I got to gonna go down and see about her divorce the next day. She'd been married to this guy and she had a little boy about 10 years old and this guy was beating the hell out of the kids and she didn't want him. He wouldn't stop and she shot him in the hind end with a 30-06 rifle. Right through the cheeks of
the boy.
Kowam. 30-06. And it hit.
For him? Yeah.
He had a bunch of keys in his pocket. And a bullet busted the brass keys, you know, and a piece of brass went through his hand. What did he fix that much? She didn't get a lot of ring on her. Hell no. Christ no. But I. She made a Christian out of him.
I bet she did.
Hell, they didn't. She was right back on the job the next day. Next night, hell, she didn't lose any time. They didn't know what they didn't do a damn thing about it. oh, God almighty. Yeah, I said, I got him. Hell, it just happened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't lock her up or make her stay home with her damn thing.
Was he all right after a while?
I don't know, I guess so. Yeah, all it did is, yeah, it didn't break any bone. It hit the billfold, hit the key ring and one day other. oh, God. Well, hell, they went back together again, too, after a while. Yes.
Did you ever think about getting married?
Sometimes I did, you know. I was kind of... Women was always so smart for me, I guess. Well, I didn't want to get married until my mother was running a post office there in that little town.
That's in South Dakota?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And my father, he'd been a mail carrier on one rural route out of there. He was a mail carrier on that. And
that was your stepfather?
No, my real father.
Your real father.
And he got, I never had a stepfather. He got, he got no more. He got in changeable weather in the spring. Mm-hmm. He got pneumonia, and that turned into tetanus. They didn't have tetanus shots, and he had to operate on a little bit, drain his lungs for that lobar pneumonia. And there was no such thing then. They didn't know about tetanus at that time. And he got that. Had to operate on him and take out part of a lung. They took out a piece of one of his ribs too and stuff like that. But he passed away, and sucks and one thing and another. Yeah. But they sucks. I ate a lot of meals out of the South Dakota mother's pension, I'll tell you then. $18 a month. But my grandfather there, he was around there too.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a carpenter by trade. Built several houses and barns around that country. He was a good carpenter, I guess. Sucks. And he had a pension too, Civil War pension. And God, that's all I've been raised on is pensions.
So you wanted to get away?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I didn't want to get away. But I mean, it comes right down to it. My subsistence was just through a pension money. Well, other people are getting pensions from this and that and other too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. $18 a month, that was mother's pension in South Dakota, Vermont, but had it before other states had it too. By God, I'd say $18.
Didn't go very far even in those.
Well, by God, you'll buy quite a few staple groceries too.
Mm-hmm.
If you own your own house, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you didn't have to pay rent. There's a big difference, you see.
Mm-hmm.
The taxes weren't very high out in the either. Township taxes. I know you could pay our whole tax bill for our lots there in the village and everything else. And you could pay it all with a $20 bill for a year.
Well, but you didn't want to live there. You wanted to come up here.
Well, after a while I wanted to come up. At first I always thought about Alaska, but this was before I was only 14, 15, mm-hmm. 16, and now you see.
Did you have some brothers and sisters?
Well, I ain't got no brothers. I got five sisters.
My goodness.
Did have. Some of them passed away. Three of them are alive yet. I've got three sisters living down around San Francisco. In and around San Francisco. Yeah, I know this.
Edith?
Yeah, yeah, she's the oldest one now. She's been up here
for Florence, yeah. Didn't I meet Edith in Florence?
Yeah, Florence and Florence. I got a sister Florence, and my mother's name was Florence. My grandmother's name was Florence.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's an old name in our family. Yeah, shucks. Yeah, shucks.
In the last few years when you've been living out in Esther, when you were able
Pardon?
To... The last few years when you were living out in Esther?
Oh, yeah, quite a while, yeah. Uh-huh. Shucks. Well, that's all right. You bet. Perfect neighbors. I mean, they used me perfectly. Well, I got the cabin there, and that's pretty damn right.
Mm-hmm.
I was out there when I'm going out again one of these days.
In the summertime?
Well, I'm going out and look around a little bit. I'll go out for a while in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it isn't a very big lot there in Esther, but I got a little ground out on 3 miles from Esther or something. On Cripple Creek.
Mm-hmm.
The highway goes right through it. Now, crossway through. I had a 5-acre home site there. The highway goes right through it, so it splits. But I got paid for that too.
So bit by bit you were able to put it together and make it, right?
Huh?
Bit by bit you were always able to make it.
Well,
yeah?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was working too, as far as that goes. But then sometimes I quit. I put a long time on the base too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sucks. Let's go over to Rampart. It wasn't bad there in Esther and Winter. Good, oh yeah. Had the radio and later on got a telephone. They didn't have very many telephones at first out there.
So it didn't take much to make you content?
No, it didn't take much, no. No.
Radio?
Oh yeah,
radio. Some beer? Some good friends?
Yeah, good God. Had a black and white radio at first, you know. And listened to late night radio programs, you know, it was pretty good. Yeah, heck.
Well, we're nearly at the end of this second tape. Maybe we should call it quits for tonight. What do you think? We're nearly at the end of this tape. You want to quit for tonight? Maybe I'll come back another time.
Yeah, that's fine. You got to do something besides. You got other things to do, but I suppose in the center out here.
Oh, I enjoyed talking to you. I'm just not.
Well, I thought it was all mine. Well, look,
I just get
give me I'm good, glad you do.
Yeah, I mean, you still got a lot of life left, and you sound as though you're still enjoying
it. I hope I am. Of course, you never know when a big whatever on that computer, you know. But do the best I can as long as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a life.